You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. I'm your host today. I am so glad that you're here and you showed up. And I want to do two things and just welcome you, because if you're here for the first time, I want you to know we're just a community where we love the education piece, love learning, love connecting with people. And this is so much fun. And I just would encourage you to keep showing up. Number two, I want to encourage you that wherever you listen to podcasts, if you're listening right now on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever, I want to encourage you to hit the subscribe button, because when you subscribe, you'll see every single week we're going to bring you another expert in dentistry and bring you some great tips to help you create a better practice and a better life. So just keep showing up when you can. Lastly, I want to encourage you that if you haven't, join us over in our Facebook group. I don't even know how these things work. I'm trying to figure it out, but we started last year in the COVID conference and we had over 13,000 of you just show up over there. And it's cool because it's not just us, it's people helping people. So I encourage you, it's the Best Practices powered by ACT Dental, and you can meet us over there. Now, I want to introduce my guest today, Sandy. I have known you for a long time. You are one of the greats in this industry of helpers, people that help dentists. You've been a great coach. You know everybody. Like, you've been in probably everybody's practice too. Like, you went in the early days to Howard Foran's practice. Like, Howard to this day says, like, when you came in, it changed the way he did things. And you're just a great agent of change. And so, I know you, a lot of listeners might know you, but if somebody doesn't know who Sandy Perdue is, tell us who Sandy is.
Well, hello, everybody. Just hello to all the listeners. I'm excited to be here to share some actual systems and things you can do to improve your practice with recall and reactivation and retention. I got into dentistry a long time ago. I have been consulting practices for almost 30 years. So before that, I thought, well, I'm just going to go to college and, well, I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom. And I didn't like that at all. I was best friends with the soap opera stars. So I immediately went into a dental practice that was very organized, 18 team members. And back in the 80s, he was doing like 1.3 million, which was a lot for a solo practice way back then. And I learned so much from this guy. He was like so organized, and I managed that practice, and people traveled from around the world to tour the practice. And that's what got me started into speaking and consulting, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you know, you've seen a lot. Like, dentists are, this is a very noble profession, but you know, some of these challenges, dentists are, they're hampered by the fact that they have to do the work instead of like sit back and do the entrepreneurial things. And I want to talk about a couple of these. So you see all these patterns. This is an important year for people to get back on track. What are you hearing? What are you seeing on the road? And why is this such an important conversation, what we're going to be talking about today?
Well, this year is important, and especially this year, but it's always been a problem where the back door is wide open in practices. So for you guys that are new to dentistry, you might be listening, maybe you don't even have your practice yet. I'll tell you that retention in dentistry is not good. It's actually, in many practices, only 50 to 60%, and that's very low. And I'd like to start by you thinking about something. This is something I was driving home one day, and I got to thinking about 165,000 dentists in the United States of America. And some of them are getting 3 new patients a month, and some are getting 130, right? So let's just say that 165,000 dentists got 10 new patients a month, okay? That is a lot of people changing dentists every month. Yeah. I mean, we have a huge problem in dentistry. Now we put what we're going through with COVID in the mix. Patients, if they haven't been in touch with the practice and maybe the practice has dropped out some of their vital systems, they're going to be looking for a new dental home. And that's what happens in dentistry. Whenever you stop communicating with people or they don't feel comfortable calling because a long time has passed. So yeah, it's important to have those systems in place that keep them coming back.
Yeah. And today we're going to be talking about your 3 R's. So tell us, you know, and let's talk about why these 3 R's are so important. And then let's go through each one of them, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Well, you have, first of all, every practice should have a good recall system, right? So the problem is that they think they have a recall system, but they don't. And what I mean is, as I go into practices, I've worked with over 600 dental practices, and we go in, and one of the first things we'll ask is, what is your retention? And they're like, what do you mean? Well, they don't know. They don't know. And then the second thing I'm going to ask is, can I see your recall recipe in writing? And they look, we don't have that. Right. So what that means is they never really developed a recall system. And so what happens is they get a third party company that helps with text messaging and emails. And now they have just said, okay, they're going to handle it. So that's not good. So, and then they say, oh yeah, well, okay, we use this company or this one. And you know, you guys that are listening, you've all heard of them and they're all great companies. But here's the problem. When I ask the practice, what is that third party company communicating? They rarely know. And if I ask how often, they rarely know. And the fact is they have no recall system, which I like to call a recipe.
I like that.
And it's a recipe. You know, I'm from the South, and we enjoy cooking and entertaining, right? So everything's about a recipe. And we all know, like this past Sunday, I made a big pot of gumbo and I used my mother's recipe. And if I changed one part of it, it wouldn't be the same, right? So it goes back to your systems and your practice. If you have the recipes and you follow them exactly, you're going to have consistent results that you can rely on. So one of the first things you guys need is a recipe for your recall system. And you put it in writing so that if the person that's working at your front desk right now leaves, guess what? The next person that comes along can follow it.
Yep, that's so true. Now, go back to that, because I love this. I love your recipe for recall. Now, if I'm a young dentist and I'm listening to this, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're talking to me, because I have one of those services that text and remind. Now I get it. Like, it's a system that I'm going to create internally. Talk about why it's so important. We've been in a lot of practices. Why is it so important to get this in writing step by step for everybody?
Well, the only thing that will give you consistent results, because everybody, any practice owner, they're familiar with having a day that's like $1,000 and then a $5,000 day. And then we might shoot up to $7,000, and every day is a surprise, right? So the only way you'll ever have predictability in your practice ever is through consistent actions by your team. Okay. Now that's pretty profound what I just said.
Right.
If your team has consistent actions and they do the same things on a consistent basis, you'll now have a predictable income. A great example would be that the schedule falls apart. It looks terrible for the next 2 weeks. And so what does most practices do or should do? They should hustle, right? And they start calling patients and they like, oh, come help me. Miss Hygienist, you have some time. Let's call patients. And there's that urgency, right? Well, imagine if every day had that urgency, right? So that practice would do a lot better. So that's part of this. So you have to have the urgency. The team needs to realize, whoever's working at the front desk, that the success of the practice weighs heavily on their shoulders. They have to really get their responsibility. So it starts with that as well.
Right. Now, if I'm a dentist, I'm probably like on the scientific side of my brain. Yeah. How would I even know? Because I know you're a big fan of tracking and indicators. Like, let's say I have 2,000 or 1,500 active patients. In a typical healthy recall system, I mean, what can I expect? What am I shooting for so that I know, am I healthy or unhealthy in this respect as a practice?
Okay, well, one of the first things you want to do, now, some of the listeners are probably using one of these softwares that third-party companies that jump in, like Practice by Numbers, that will give you immediately what your retention is. But you don't even, if you're just starting and you don't have that, it's okay. You don't have to go get that service. What you could do, it's as simple as this. In the beginning of the month, you could look and say, oh, okay, we have 230 people that are due for recall. And then somebody writes that down. And then at the end of the month, you want to see how many people are due for recall in that same date range. And you go, oh, okay, we have 150 that are still due. Yeah. That's not good. So now you start to know we need to work on our recall system. Something is missing. And the thing that's usually missing in the recall systems that keep them from being successful is inconsistent actions. Number one, people calling patients that, first off, they have bad phone numbers. Nobody's ever verified and kept up to date patient information. Then they're relying on these services that, for instance, I was driving the other day in the car and I got a text message. I stopped at the stoplight and I looked at my phone and I need an eye exam, right? And I went, oh yeah, I do need to do that. But I'm on my way to have lunch with friends, right? So I'm like, okay, now I have forgotten about it. Right. So, and then you've got emails, only 28% of emails are ever opened. And that's the reality. And I know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've certainly done it when I'm lecturing. I have everybody pull out their cell phone and tell me how many emails they have that are unread. And it's like thousands of them. So you might be thinking, is she saying that we shouldn't be texting and emailing? No, I'm not saying that at all. That's just part of your system. Right. So a good recall system has phone calls, texting, emails. And guess what? It has another component, which is every once in a while, an old-fashioned snail mail something. Right. Because you have different personalities, different age groups. You've got all these things going on in people's lives. And you've got to do something that's going to fit every one of them.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you the age-old question because everybody's got an opinion on this one. Do you schedule every patient at the time of their appointment for their next one? Or some people are like, no, you don't do that. Some people are still using postcards. I think everybody's all over the board on this one. Now, I'm of the opinion I'm going to schedule them for the next one, but I'm open. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I love that question. Okay, first off.
That's why I asked it. I want you to tell us.
I have studied broken appointments for decades. And for our clients, I get every broken appointment they have. If they're having a problem with broken appointments, I want them to record the broken appointment. I want to know a lot about that patient. And then I want it sent to me every week. And so every week we might get 80 broken appointments coming through our email that's been scanned in. And, you know, there's something that those of you all know this, what I'm about to say, a majority of those hygiene broken appointments were people that were pre-scheduled. So always know the more control you have, the practice, not the patient, the more predictability and the higher your production's going to be, the more control you have, right? So not every patient deserves to be pre-scheduled. Now, what do you mean? Well, okay. Do you really think the guy that has broken three appointments to get there can be relied on to come in 6 months? I don't think so. Right. So I believe that 80% of your patients can be pre-scheduled and should be pre-scheduled. There's about 20% that should not be pre-scheduled. You can't depend on them. They're not responsible.
Yeah.
So
I completely agree with you. You know, the history, people are who they are. And if they've canceled three times, there's a good chance. And then I get it. Team members are like, well, I got to put them in the schedule.
No,
it's like a crapshoot. You know, if they're going to make it, right?
If I'm the scheduler, it's not going on the schedule. So, you know, a lot of whenever I get these sheets, it'll say previous broken appointments, 11, 13, 7. Am I really going to save an appointment 6 months in the future after somebody has broken 11 appointments? That is out of control. Whoever's scheduling isn't in control. So I do believe the hygienists think it's great for them to pre-schedule the appointments, but I think they need to look before they do.
Very well said. I love it. And that's why I tossed you the question, because I get it all the time. I'm like, oh gosh. And then you battle with people like, oh, I still did the postcards. I'm like, oh Lord, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
Everything works to a certain degree, but I always want to know like what you're seeing out
now,
there.
Now, see, I really think now again, what I see working for recall is that yes, you pre-schedule.
Right.
And then for those pre-scheduled people, I see that postcard sent 3 weeks before. You know what? That works. It gives them the option if they can't come to go ahead and call the office. You see, when we call people and email them too much and too often, it is a turnoff. It becomes spam.
Yep.
You seem desperate. So what I see working, and I've really paid attention to this, like, you know, I've even changed it up over the years. Like, we'll stop doing that. We'll leave that step out and then we'll send an email. And I'm just going to tell you, it's always better to send those pre-scheduled hygiene cards 3 weeks away and then 3 days before send an email. And if they don't confirm from that, 2 days before send the text.
Love it.
And then, if they don't confirm from that, the day before they get a call. And then some patients will always get a call the day before because you can't trust them. And your time is precious. That's one thing about the schedule. There's nothing in the practice, an action, more important than filling the schedule. It is the most important thing. Why are we even there? You know, I've seen office managers in the back planning a party or, you know, for the Christmas party or the this or that for the staff. And none of that matters.
Right.
If the schedule's not built, that's number one. And so, you know, what do we have to do to get the patient there? You know, it's like, you know, a lot of people think, oh yeah, you know, if those patients, they can't keep the appointment, we have to keep reminding them, we don't want them as patients. Well, I think that's ridiculous because we're not an Elton John concert. We're in an industry where less than half the people go every year to the dentist. I mean, it's not that easy. So we have to help the patients. Okay. I mean, I could go on and on about that part, but it's very important that we do our part in getting the patient there.
Totally agree with what you said. I love it. I love it. I love it. And it goes back to your recipe. Like, what is your recipe that gives you the outcome you're looking for? Now we're going to talk about the next R in your three R's. What's your next R?
Retention.
Okay. That. What? Because everybody has a different definition for retention too.
Right. They do. Well, I believe that as long as blood is flowing through their veins and they never called and said, I'm never coming back. Or they never called and said, I'm moving across the country. You need to keep communicating with them. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Now, I think the software companies are probably the ones that decided that after a year or 18 months, forget about them. We'll write them off. And I think that's just out reality, actually, because if you think about it, I know even myself, a year goes fast. 6 months goes fast. I mean, I actually, a couple of years ago went 18 months without getting my teeth cleaned. Yeah, it's true. And I was in dental offices all the time. So I think if you asked a lot of patients after even 2 years who their dentist was, I think they would probably say the last one they went to. And here's the reality of it. Again, the ADA reports only like 38% of adults go to the dentist every year. Now they put it in different age groups. There's one age group at 48% and one at 38%. So that's less than half, any way you want to look at it. Less than half the people ever born have been to the dentist. So guys, you know, you can't write people off. If this goes into a whole nother topic of communicating with people, because I think some schools teach dentists that everybody wants to jump in their chair, and no practice has patients lined up around the building waiting to get in. It's right. Not reality. And so it's just, don't write your patients off. A lot of them, people sit with the phone in their lap for hours, or even think about making an appointment for weeks and months before they do it, because of their fear of the dentist are not understanding what will happen if they don't go. I mean, that's the reality of it. And practices need to spend more time communicating and educating.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I love this. And so I get this question. So I'm going to ask you, like, what is an active patient? What is a healthy retention number?
And again, I think
you tell me.
Okay. Well, again, ideally, everybody comes in every 6 months, but it's not the reality. Right. And I think I say 18 months, you know, but I always think when I get this question, because people ask me this, but I think of this one girl that came to one of my seminars, and somehow in that seminar, and I don't know how this happened, she got that I said she needed to go inactivate a bunch of people. So she called me like the following week, and she's like, Sandy, I just wrote 130 letters. And I'm so excited. We're inactivating patients. And I'm like, has the mail come? She goes, I don't know. I said, go get that box and bring it back in. Because, you know, again, if a patient has been a good patient, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they could be a good patient and then somebody upset them. You could have had a new hygienist that upset them and they stopped coming. Who's calling them and trying to get them back? You know, all that's part of retention. So, you know, upset patients, handling them. And that's part of that retention program that every practice should have in place. Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, for me, I don't believe in writing people off. I'm sorry. You know, I guess at some point, you know, down the road, if it's been 5 years and they haven't come back, they're going to go to a dentist.
Yeah,
they're going to go. And I want it to be my clients. You know, that's who I want them to. I don't want them to write off patients. You know, just look at the reality of it. Say 2 years passes and they break a tooth. If you've been sending emails or sending recall cards or holiday cards or birthday cards, you know, they now think, oh, okay, well, yeah, they still consider me as a patient. But if you cut off all communication after a year, guess what? They're 100% going to go to a different practice.
Totally, totally. Now, this is a loaded question, and you get this one just like I do. You know, retention, dentists, you find this, dentists are more interested in how many new patients they get. And instead of, can you just talk about your observations between how important those, they're both important. But they often think, well, I need 300 new ones. You know, who cares how many are leaving? Can you talk?
What happens is that's because they have a terrible recall system or it's non-existent. So we go into those practices. One of the first things I do when somebody calls and they say, Sandy, can you help us get new patients? I say, are you near your computer? Can you pull a report from me real quick? And like, we'll find out how many people are due today to come in. And they're like, oh man, you've got another practice inside your practice.
Right.
And they're like, oh man, wow. Okay. So what they need to do is improve their retention and they need to improve their treatment plan presentation skills, right? Because another report at that point when they're looking for new patients is, oh, let's see your unscheduled treatment report. Oh, it's $1 million for the last 12 months.
Right.
So those things need to be fixed, right? That's what needs to be fixed. And so new patients are great. Get that new blood in there. But, you know, for me, the first thing I'm going to look at is the phone, you know, how the phone's being answered and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, you work so hard to get these people. Let's keep them.
That's right. They know where you are located. They know the experience in the practice, but that's a huge problem in dentistry is it's just a revolving door. And, you know, 165,000 dentists getting new patients every month. Does anybody ever think about what's happening in the dental world? That's insane.
It is insane. So I love your recipe with the first two R's. Now let's go to the third R. What's the third R in your recipe?
Okay. The third R is a reactivation.
Okay. Now, we're going to have to define that because everybody asked me that too. Like, what is reactivation?
Okay. So you've got patients that have come in and they've been a patient of record. Maybe they came in one time and they had their teeth cleaned and they never came back. For me, anybody that hasn't been in the practice for 13 months or longer is a reactivation prospect, so to speak. It's like they need to be reactivated back into the practice. So that's 13 months or longer. Right. So what we have been doing for about 20 years is a reactivation project. And I have implemented this in so many practices and it works. And so what you have to think about with reactivation is there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can get on the phone, and that's the hardest part because most dental team members do not have the ability to handle the objections that patients have unless they've had special training. They don't know when somebody, you know, starts complaining or putting off. And, you know, patients, they lie about why they can't come back, right? They tell little stories.
Right.
So you've got to have somebody really good on the phone when you're reactivating. So that's not something it's important to do, but you don't want to have just anyone on your team doing it. So that's one way you could do it. Now, another way is you could use your third-party company to send mass emails. But again, 28% of those are opened and the rest are not. And so what we have found, like any marketing campaign, okay, it comes in threes, if you've ever noticed. Like you can get your mail out of the mailbox. You see a postcard from about a vacuum cleaner. Okay, that's one I got recently. And then next month you get another one and then you get another one. So I noticed that 20 years ago and I thought, you know what, let's try that for reactivating patients.
Right.
So it works. So what we do is we recommend every January that practices look at who needs to come in and they go back for 3 years.
Okay.
So if you want to find last visit dates going back, starting at that 3 years ago up to 13 months ago. And you get that list of patients and you go through there and you want to make sure nobody owes you any money first off. And then if they don't, you send a card. And the card is very special. I've done a lot of research and we have a sister company. We sold it actually. That was a crown remover. And we'd go to all these dental shows every year. And so we would test the color of the card on the dentist. And then we started putting them in our client practices. So, you know, this is kind of, you know, people might think, you know, cards, it's not cool to send cards anymore. You got to send email and text. I'm telling you, you'll get 9 to 19% of your patients back with this particular project, 9 to 19% without a phone call.
Wow.
So what you do is I was speaking at the dental office manager conference and a girl raised her hand. She said, Sandy, we did that and we got back 30%. We did your project. And I was like, oh, that's great. That was the highest one I'd ever heard. So you want to find out who is due. You know, like I said, and I'll repeat this just so that listeners can write this part down because you want to go back at least 3 years and then go up to the 13 months. And now you're going to start communicating with them and you need a card. And our color is the highlighter green. It's a very ugly color, but you know, it's like, it's that highlighter green. That's what it is. And you could put your business card on the front, your office name on the front, and then you send this out to your patients. But there's something very important about this card. On the reverse side, you'll have a message that you miss seeing them in the practice. And then underneath your return address, you want to make sure you include return service requested. Because when you put return service requested on that card, you know what you're going to get?
What?
You're going to now get their new address. So that's another reason why I like to send cards to patients that pre-scheduled 6 months ago. You're saving time, but maybe they moved away.
Right.
And because you put that return service requested on the card, now you'll get the card back and go, oh, good, we're saving time for the whole family and they moved away.
Right.
So on the reactivation card, you do that. You get them back after the first mailing and you start updating your address and your software and you send another card. And you do that for 3 months in a row. And I'm telling you, people will come. They will come.
Yeah. I love this. Now, I have so many questions on the retention side of things. You know, you have to understand, as anything, you want to get as many of these back, but there's a certain percentage that get displaced. Some of them die, move away. Realistically, if I'm a dentist and I'm like, oh, I want to do this, what percentage of your practice is getting displaced per year? Do you have any idea?
I think a goal for every practice owner is to retain about 83%. If you can retain 80%, you're doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I love your 13 months thing because that's about they start to get on the cusp of, okay, you know, some people wait the full 18 months.
Yeah.
By then, they're for sure gone.
They're going to go somewhere else. You got to think about this. You know, ladies, any ladies listening, you'll have reality on this. You go to service businesses like to get your nails done, get a pedicure, and, or even your haircut. So you go to the same person, but something happened where you couldn't go to them,
right.
You know, and you tried a new salon and now you didn't like the new one, but you want to go to the old one, but they're going to know I went. You see, they're going to know I went somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then they're scared to come back. This is why all of these different types of communication are so important with your patients. And then, you know, part of that retention, another thing is that I'm pretty sure patients leave because of some kind of upsets. Now, some practices, I've heard them say, oh, well, we don't care about that. Well, I'm going to say, run to your upset patients, not from them. And those practices that really get how important relationships are within the practice, they will do this and they will retain more people. Because every time something happens in your practice that's upset someone that a lot of times the doctor never even knows about, they go and they're going to talk over their back fence to their neighbor about you.
For sure.
And Facebook. And yeah, with the internet now and do negative reviews and a lot of people aren't going to do the reviews and they're just going to tell everybody. So you have to build these good relationships and have systems where your team knows if somebody walks out of hygiene and says, oh, can you put me with somebody else next time? Antennas go up and somebody calls that patient later and gets that handled because that's not good. And I see it happening all the time. The team is not trained to be listening for these. And that's a huge part of retention.
Right. Right. Now, when is this, if I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh man, I got all three of these problems. Do you see these in sequential order of fixing or are they kind of work together or are you tackling the one that's the worst? I mean, how do you see this?
I think they work together, but to get started, I think the most important thing is to come up with a recall recipe, get your policy for, and you have to think about it. You know, it's like that. You have to think about what are the steps, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to communicate with our patients? And then this is a great time of year. If you're listening to this in the months of January, February, March, and April, those are the best months to do your reactivation project. If not, if you're listening to us in August, you can start now. If you're listening to us in September, October, November, December, don't start yet. Those months aren't the best to start.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And then when you're thinking about your practice, I would imagine you get these young dentists, and I love them, but they're like, you know, first thing I need is a CBCT. I'm like, you should get your systems in place, get the phones right. Because would you agree with this? If you do a great job with the R&R, get your recipe in place, you're going to have a problem in about 6 to 8 months, which is, I don't know where to put these people.
That's right. That's right.
And that is a good problem to have. Wouldn't you agree?
Right. You'll either have that problem or you'll have just a full schedule that's productive, you know, depending on the individual practice. But your systems, this comes first. This is what you do first before you start buying a lot of equipment.
Right. Now, another thing too, you and I didn't talk about this, but let's say I'm listening to you, Sandy, and I'm like, I'm totally doing this. And I start to improve all these things. Now I run into the issue where I've got too many patients, and everyone thinks, oh gosh, too many patients. The first thing you do is build more ops. I mean, everybody has a different opinion on that. I'm like, no, build. Like, there's some patients that aren't the best. Let's get this right before you make it bigger. And I don't know what your answer is going to be, but like, you see this dilemma people have all the time. They want to add hours, they added ops, or they go, wow, we're really busy now, I'm just going to add more docs. Tell me what to do once I get good at these 3 R's.
Yeah, that is a tough one. Now, I don't see, to be honest with you, so I have seen, but I don't see a lot of practices that have so many patients, they don't know what to do with them. You know, I mean, I suppose that could happen. And I do hear about them. But I think that ideally, having good patients, of course, then the bad patients kind of weed themselves out. You know, those are the ones that you might not be sending the recall cards to. And that's easy to do. So I think a lot of times then when people, they don't know what to do with their patients, and they have poor capacity. And that could be even with employees. You know, I mean, they might not have enough people. I mean, that's such a broad question. That's hard to answer.
I know
dentists that can easily run 45 to 60 patients a day through their practice and not be stressed out.
Right.
And, you know, I know some that at the thought of that, just a lot of it has to do with the ability of the doctor and their goals, you know, what they want. You know, the doctor that founded our company, when he sold his practice at age 78, solo practice doing $2.8 million with 4 full-time hygienists, doing 100 units of crown and bridge a month, and he wasn't overworked. So everybody's different. But again, scheduling, delegating, having people that trained team is everything. That's what a lot of, you know, dentists don't realize. You know, having a trained team and having the right people working in the technical areas to help you with things. Yeah,
totally agree. Go back to that, what you just said, training your team. You know, a lot of dentists say, oh, I don't want to invest in this. Like, I don't. And like, how important is it to train your team?
Okay. I have 2 words for you.
Tell me.
Tom Brady.
Tell us why.
Oh my goodness. Look at that dude. Okay. What happened last weekend, that right there tells you the value of skill and training. So you can have people and they can be good, or you can have people that are fantastic. And your life, your office life, is going to be easier when you have people that are trained and can take that stress off of you and that can do their jobs and do them right. And I mean, that's the first thing when I watched that game, and I'm thinking, you know, this dude, okay, he's got skill.
Yeah.
And the right people on your team will affect the outcome.
Right. I totally agree with your answer. The problem is I was on the losing end of that. I'm a Green Bay Packer fan through and through. So,
well, that's who I wanted to win.
I know. And like Tom Brady, I agree with you. I think he's the best ever. I just hate playing against him. Like, play against somebody else.
Are you kidding? My team played week before last, the Saints, right? So I know that's Drew and Tom. Yeah. Right.
So I was watching, just to go back to that, like I was watching the first quarter and I'm like, it's oh, I hate playing against this guy. He's like a skilled surgeon. He's just taking us apart one play at a time. And man, before you know it, and he didn't flinch. I'm like, he didn't flinch. So, he did have three interceptions, but you know, I mean, that's the most we could have asked for as a Green Bay Packer fan is like, he threw three. Like, you know, if I could have predicted that, yeah, I'm like, that's all we need. We capitalize on the rest. And so I agree. You got to invest heavily in the people around you, create that infrastructure. It's powerful. So any last thoughts you have on the RRR, which I love?
Well, I think the listeners, what you have to do is take action. You've got to do this. You get with your team, and especially the front office should be the ones that you work with, and come up with action steps and do the recall. And when you put your recipe together for your recall, you got to get with the third party company and find out what they're sending your patients and how often. And that is included in this write-up. That is part of it. And you have to have a system, an exact system, and then go through each one of these and get with your team on retention, start tracking it. And then at your team meeting every month, which I hope you're having, you discuss it. How many patients are we retaining? And somebody needs to be in charge of watching that number, because it can get very interesting. And then do a reactivation project every year. And of course you're going to be emailing, and of course you're going to be sending your text. But the thing that I see for these past due patients that work so well are these old fashioned snail mail cards, and they work. Right. It's just another way to communicate with them.
I love it. Sandy, this is awesome. And you know, you're just a great, great voice in this industry, and I always appreciate everything you do, your articles, everything. So this is a great way. Now, I know people are going to probably, you know, how do I get a hold of Sandy? How do we get a hold of you? If I have questions, I want to know more. Like, how do I get a hold of you?
Okay. Well, my email is Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y, at classicpractice.com. And then our website is classicpractice.com. And you can find me on Facebook, and I have a private Facebook group called Dental Gumbo.
Dental Dumbo or Gumbo?
Gumbo.
Gumbo. I was like, what? Did you hear that wrong? I'm like, no. Well, I would qualify for the Dental Dumbo. You know, like I need it all simplified for me, but Dental Gumbo, I love it. It's just a good mix of all the best stuff to create a unique.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on. And check out her stuff. Reach out to Sandy. And Sandy, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening and tuning in to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I hope you did, just do us a favor. Hit the share button. Share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see in the future, whether it be Sandy, with Sandy or other people, and we'll line them up. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys, enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.